Okay, we're just going to quickly chazer over the last sugya that we did yesterday at the bottom of Kuftet Bava Mitved, which is the sugya of Takala. And the Gemara at the bottom of the dot says Takala Tanaihi. That Takala is actually a machlokes Tanaim. So it tells us here already, this is the problem that in the Gemara and Shabbos in the Yudchet Davar, we see there that we do worry about Takala, and there's Divri Akol, we worry about Takala. So those wants to know why over here do we say there's a machlokes, and over there we don't say there's any issue of takala. Everybody agrees takala. So he says mufarish hatam time mishum truma tmeiav yakoin dum mishayla v'atu de takala. And this is talking about what are called sumchei truma, when you plant truma, and then in order to be mitaher them or to use that, we say don't do that because you may end up having a takala. So why over there do we worry about takala, and over here we don't, or at least there's a machlokus about whether we worry about takala? So he says over there, the Rish says that shani hatam the pamim shemashel v'tam biyoter. Over there, the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about planting. If he misses this planting season, he's going to leave for next planting season. It's something that has a huge duration to it. Something that everybody agrees is going to be problematic in terms of takala. Over here, he says that you can do the zilluf right away. If he misses a little bit, he can wait a little bit more and he can do it again, meaning that the wine can age very quickly or a little bit of a smell and it's good enough to go. So that's one issue. And then also, it's a shiny hatam. Over there, it's different. I gazera let have saved kohen. Over there, that gazera doesn't cause any hafsid to the kohen, because just like it was truma mikara, also after you plant it, it'll also be truma. Right, so therefore, everybody worries about takala. Over here, you can say the gamri shetishbach hakol. Here, what happens if you do it? You have to dump it all out. You get the mantel chayis to takala. Somebody says, all right, but that's all you're going to do with it. Throw it on the ground. Then we don't worry about takala. So based on that, now the Gemara says, but takala tamat nahi. Takala itself is a machlokes tanaim d'tanya. Chavicha yain shel truma shenis meis. You have a barrel full of wine, and truma became tamei. V'chamer umim tishpuch hakol. You spill the whole thing out. V'zil umim tatsi ziluf. Use it for something you can use truma tmeya for, which is ziluf. Amar Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, ani achriya. I'll be machriya between them, but by meaning that there is no machlokes between them. But by it, that says ziluf. If the wine's found in the house, use it for ziluf. Ubasadet mishpoch alkol, and out in the field, you'll dump it. Saying I can hold both like Beit Shammai and the Beit Hillel. So Gemara says igadamre. Another way to differentiate is Beyashan tatzeh ziluf. Right, if it's old, if it's already aged wine, use it for ziluf. Uvchadash yishpoch hakol. If it's new wine, dump the whole thing. Amrulo, ein afrash lishit machrat. Hey, afrash lishit is not machria. The way Rashi interprets it here, Tosu says that he thinks Rashi's pshat is correct, is that tam atzbachat omerken. You are speaking on your own behalf. You are making up a third shita over here. Now, when is it considered, and Tosus goes through extensively through how it works, but we have generally a principle that the halacha is kedivrei hamachriya. The halacha is always like the one who is machriya. Machriya, in some senses, means someone who is able to either incorporate both opinions or to compromise between the opinions. But that's only true, or the reason that is true is because acharei l'rabim la'atot. We paskin like the rabim. So for instance, if you have a shita, two tanaim that are arguing about a shita, and then you have a third tana who comes along and takes a piece of one tana, a piece of the other tana, then we pass them like that machriya. Why? Because then you have two against one in every case. Meaning that machriya, in the case that he passes like one tana, it's him and that tana against the other tana. When he passes like the other tana in the other case, it's two against one. So that's what's called, that's the hakra here, that's the decision making. Over here, we do not have that. Why don't we have that? Does Rashi point that?
It's one against one against one.
Right, exactly. Meaning that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi made up a new opinion. He established a new opinion. Why? Because Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel never mentioned Sadeh Bayis, or never mentioned Yoshana Chadash. Meaning that he's invented these categories that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel never addressed. So had they, for instance, had Rabbi Beit Hillel said, Tatzed Ziluk, Ben Basadeh, Ben Babayis, and Beit Shammai said, right, Tishpuch HaKol, Ben Basadeh, Ben Babayis, and then Rabbi Shmuel Barabbi made a statement, then you would have a Chra. Because they have two people saying Sadeh, two people talking about Bayis, and then you can be a Machriya. So that's what Rashi says here. The rejection of the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel Barabbi Yossi as a Hachra, or as a decision here, is because he's really an independent opinion, he's really a new opinion, not a Hachra, not a decision making. Right, and Tosus goes through Shas and shows many, many instances where that is true, and the exceptions they have to deal with, that the Gemara uses it, and we've seen this before as a Lashon Mush'al. In other places, they'll use the word Machriya, even though it's not really working like a Hachra that is defined over here. Rabbeinu Tam, it's not clear, it's the Girsa, whether it's Rabbeinu Tam, the Rach, says that the parish of Chash Lishit means Dor Shlishit, that he's the third generation, he's the Talmid. And we have a principle in other places that a Talmid cannot be a Machriya. So truthfully, it could have been Dor Sheni, it would have been a problem, but it happens to be just, realistically, he is a Dor Shlishit. And yeah, Chash Lishit means that a Talmid, a Dor Shlishit, a third generation, means someone who's a Talmid cannot be a Machriya, and that's the rejection of the Gemara over here. It's true, it happens to be, that fact is true, it happens to be, it works nicely here. The problem is it doesn't work in other places. In other places, when it says, Enoch Chash Lishit, it doesn't really work out, and therefore the Tosfos is more inclined to go with the pshat of the of Rashi to explain that Tafra here is a lack of consistency between the opinions, or some sort of overlap between the opinions, which would create some sort of hafra'a. The other possibility doesn't bring down a Yesh Mefarshim of the time of the Tishbuk Mishum the Recha Milti. The reason that you have to dump it over here is because Recha Milti is an argument in other places in Shas, right, especially we saw in Tzachim and other areas, whether smell has is substantive. If it is substantive, then you can't get that type of hana. Now what do you have here? You have Usur Mizalef, you can't be Mizalef. Why? Davi Kishtiya. It'd be like drinking it. Maybe if you can smell it, you get a nod, it's equivalent to drinking it. So that's what the answer here is. Not, this is not a makhlukas about takala, this is a makhlukas about, right, whether Recha Milti here or not. He says, Vinay Nira, he says, doesn't make so much sense. Dim Ken Lorbi Rabbi Shmuel Machriya. Right, then Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't be a Mechriya, I would attend an Ashi Kumar. Right, he says that it would be saying his own opinion, the Kamai Lo Yiftugu B'Mechash L'Takala. Because the first opinions don't have anything to do with Takala. This explanation, the Gemara says that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are arguing about Recha Milti, and Rabbi Shmuel comes along and says, oh, it's Takala. So if that's the case, then clearly there is no Hakura here because they're talking apples and oranges over here. Tosfos reject that pshat in the Gemara and says, again, it's interesting, twice in the same Tosfos he says, nearer the Re'ikar to Perisha Kuntris, and later on a second time he says, Perisha Kuntris near the Re'ikar. Twice, so it says it. So what Rashi says is, right, maybe, but he says twice he says that the Rashi's shot makes the most sense, and he goes on to defend it and explain it. All right, now the mission that we dealt with yesterday, Demarlo Atzil Shocha, right? He says, if I'll save it for you, then I'll pay you, or I'll give you back your money for your animal or your barrel that you lost, or the wine that you lost. Amai, b'nei mishatei ani b'cha. He says, I was joking. I was really joking. Milo Tanya, don't we have a brisa? Rishar Bereach from Beit Asurim, he's running away from prison, right? Then the guards and the police are after him. Vaydam Avoret Lefanav, and he has a boat that's waiting right in front of him. Rashi says it's a wide boat, seems like a ferry of sorts, that crosses the river. So he comes to the guy and says, Marlo, Tol Dinar, Rebbe Yarni. Says, take a dinar, which is way in excess of the cost of a ferry ride. And take me across. Ain lo elus charo. In the end, he could just pay him for the work he did, because I was just trying to get you moving. I said, get this boat out of here. So I'll pay you a dinar. It's not real. So he says, why can't he say the same thing over here? When he says, yeah, dump your wine and pick up, and I'll pay you for your wine. Dump your chamor and I'll take care of your more. It says, hello dummy. Hello the safe. No. Our case of here is not similar except for the safe over there. V'im amarlo tul dinar zeb bischarcha. If he says, take a dinar for your schar, devirani, and then take me over, noten lo scharo. Then you gotta pay him. Mishalim, noten lo scharo mishulam, or mishalim. You have to pay the full amount. Meaning that when you make that statement of scharcha, that already obligates you. Gemara says, maishna reisha, maishna seifa. What's the difference in the ratio where you can say Mishatea Nibakha? And the safer we pay his full amount. It says Amarami Bakama, Bitsayat, Ushlitagiminayam. Talking about a fisherman. There's a boat with a fisherman. Ramalay, Akhtani, Vare Bizuza. You caused me a loss. I couldn't fish at the time that I was taking you across. So you caused me a loss. So that's the difference over here. The difference over here is whether your what loss is the individual suffering in order to help you out. In the case where he says to him, a dinar for you, get me a cross. So he takes him a cross. What did the ferryman lose? The ferryman didn't lose anything, because what else would he do? That's his job. He takes people across. And the only thing he could have done at the same time was take people across and earn the same schar of taking someone across. Therefore, in that instance, you just take the schar. On the other hand, if the guy is also a fisherman, and you tell him, dinar for you and your schar, get me across, and in the meantime, he could have been fishing and taking the game out, then he has an opportunity cost. He lost the money. In that instance, you got to pay him what you said you're going to pay him, because you took him away from his normal work. Same thing over here. In our case in the Mishnah, chamor, it says to him, listen, I'll dump my chamor, I'll pick up your chamor. Over there, it's clear that had he not been involved with your chamor, he would have been saved the money and he would have had the money from his chamor. Same thing if he, right, with the barrel of wine versus the divash. Had he not dumped his wine, he would have had his wine. So he's incurring a cost, an expenditure on your behalf. When you make a statement like that, you can't say Meshateh Ani B'cha, because that's condition of the agreement between us that I'm going to help you with the condition that my loss will be compensated.
I don't understand what the kushiyah is. Because he's saying, what did you say? What is the Gemara asking? He says, what, you compare the cases. But what the Gemara, the case that the Gemara brings, is that he has to pay the loss. And that's what the Mishnah says.
The first case is just paying the Mishnah. And again, when the Gemara amends it, that has two parts to the price, and then it looks exactly like a Mishnah. You have one case that has Skar, and one case that has Ross.
But in the first case, what's the Hava Mina?
What's the compare the case? The Gemara is just saying that there's a concept called Meshateh Ani B'cha, which is that there's a concept called that I can say to you that when I really
renege,
I can renege on a deal where I'm overpaying. Anytime when I overpay, we're saying pay him schar like they do in the Brisa, pay him like a poel. Why do you have to compensate him for his whole chamor? He's not worth a whole chamor. The work he did for you is not worth a whole chamor. The work he did for you is like a poel. Pay him like a poel, like the ferry rider, the ferry driver. He didn't do any work that's in excess of the schar that he's entitled to.
He brings Rashi's pshat and Yevamos, and he also brings Perish Arrived, that the Indian here by the Ma'boret is that. The Baal Ma'boret is chayev midin hatzalas nefashas to save the guy who's running from Beis HaAsurim. He lo magia lo klum. So then the guy who's running away from Beis HaAsurim says, I'll pay you. I'll even pay you to save me. So then he gives him a shot to nivacha, because the guy was chayev in the first place to save midin hatzalas nefashas.
Yeah, but over here, a simple way to read the Gemara here is that it's the difference between compensating as a schar, the poel, what he's doing, versus compensating him for, like in our Mishnah, where you're going to get the chamor, they're going to get the yayin back. So the Mishnah bring here, it says, okay, look, I say to you, I'm going to pay you more. The Mishnah says, man, you want to spend like a schar poel. You want to spend like a poel. So why not in our Mishnah too? He says, I'm going to pay you more, I'm going to pay you for chamor. Why in the end can he just say to him, I'm going to pay you like a regular poel? The Mishnah says, they're not comparable because of the loss. And that's the difference in the case. That's the, in the end, the Seifa says, when there's a loss involved, you can't just say, I'm going to pay you like a poel. You have to pay him poel plus the loss. So during our Mishnah, when there's a loss involved, you have to pay him like a poel plus the loss, which is the chamor or the yayin that he gave up. So I think that's the simple shot without getting involved in that thought in the Pashim. We need both cases in our Mishnah. By the case of the wine and the devash, hatam hu dechi perish, yayin plays the mei kulei, mishum di vadaim kama akhati.
I think it's good. Oh, no, sorry.
Then the first case is because why over there he has to dump his wine via daim in order to give him the barrel to use for his devash. So over there I would say compensate him for the wine that he dumped. Over here by not going saving his chamor, it goes the ibud. Maybe I should only pay you like a poel, meaning that it was going. You didn't give it up. You just didn't go after it to save it. So that I don't have to compensate you. Yeshmin and safe, but had I taught just to say for the case of the chamor, hachahu de bistama in the level scharo, there by stam he only gets schar mishum de memeva, because the chamor goes to ibud. If he doesn't make a tnai, the chamor goes to ibud, bistam. Val hatam, in the case of the yain and devash, bizi adayim, that is to dump his wine, even though he makes the condition with you, ema filu bistama yoyv le de mekula, even in stam you have to pay for the wine. Tzrichos, in that case, that's why the Mishnah brought two cases, one of Yain and Devash, and one of Chamor and Chamor, to teach you both by Biyadayim and by Memeilo, the same dinim apply. If there's a Tznai, you got to compensate the full amount. If there is no Tznai, B'Stama, then you only pay him Kitzkar of a Poel. So they made this condition. He says, I'll save your chamor, I'm letting my chamor go, on the condition that you pay me for my chamor. So he goes and he saves his friend's chamor, and he wants to get paid. But he happens to luck out that even though he didn't go and save his chamor saved itself. And it walks up on the other side of the banks of the river, walks up the other side, and now he's basically going to get kesa. He's going to get his chamor back. Plus, he's going to get paid or compensated for the one who he saved the chamor. Is that the din? Amalei, Mishamaya, Rechimole, and Achanami, his kesa here. His chamor was hefker. He gave up all hope of getting it back. If he gave up all hope of getting it back, when he goes and acquires it again and gives it back, when it walks out the other end, he's acquiring it from hefker. Acquiring from hefker, that's his good luck. He found an aveda. And he still has to compensate, and the guy still has to compensate. Kiyad Rav Safra, Vakazel B'Sheyarta. So it's like Rav Safra was going along on a caravan. Lavinu Hawari, Kol Eilea. There was a lion, he used to accompany them. He was a nice lion, decided that he wanted to protect them. So he traveled along with the Shayara, used to protect them from wild animals and marauders. Kol Eilea, so small payment, small fee that they had to pay him. Kol Eilea, Kashad Alei Chamro, Dechad Minayu. Right, each night that they used to toss them one of the chamorim of the travelers, and that would be his reward, right, his food for the day for traveling with them. Kimat didn't Rav Safra, so Rav Safra's turn came and he had to give them a chamor. Shalulei chamra, and they threw him a chamor. Said he wasn't hungry that night. He didn't need his chamor. So Kadam Rav Safra, Rav Safra was lucky. Safra went back and made a kinyan on it. He made a kinyan in order to get it back. So you see over there, even though, right, it was part of the deal was that he was going to give up his chamor. Nevertheless, if he lucked out and the alliance didn't eat it, he took it back. Why did he have to make a kinyan on it at all? Why does Rav Safra have to go make a kinyan from Efker? Because when he was masker, he was masker for the Ari to eat it. That was the only purpose that he gave it away, was for the Ari to eat it. He wasn't masker it completely that anybody who gets it can have it. No, it's for the Ari. The Ari doesn't want it, then it's going to come back to him. Adaisa Zekuli Amalu after it. Says, Amalei Rav Safra, the Rav called the milk of Zaba. True. Well, he did not need to make a kinyan on it. Rashi says, Shalo yeh ir urba davar. He made it clear that he took possession of it again. Even though me'an ikar alocha, he didn't need to do that, but he did it to make sure that it was clear that it was his chamor, and that there were no exceptions over here.
Like we have it in Gittin, when we said that the only, he was regarded his wife only at that at the Mikaliyah.
But that's an implicit tonight.
He didn't make a specific tonight.
No, but he didn't make it, but it's implicit in that. So it's over here, you think it's implicit in the being giving it to the lion, implicit, that's what I'm curious for. He doesn't have to make it hefker, he's just being in the lion, meaning that it's a forced hefker, because once the lion eats it, he doesn't own it anymore. But it's not that he's actually really giving up ownership. Now, Tosfos does bring a case from Bava Metzia, which is what? Why does this work here? We have a din in Bava Metzia, which we're going to see soon. Matzil ben Ari Minadov, somebody's animal's been torn up, or Ari is walking off with his animal, and Ari Minadov. So then the Balim are Yashim. They give up hope, and if you keep it, if you are able to save this animal, it's yours. So find it over here, too. If you can grab the animal first, save it from the lion, then it would be the case. So it says, no. Over there, it's Vadai Shari Bali Trof. It's very clear that the lion or the bear that comes to take the animal is coming to grab stuff. I mean, this is not a friendly lion or bear. It comes, when he takes it, he comes against your will. He takes it and rips it off and is going out. There, the Balim are Kli Yaish. Over here, it's clear that the lion was helping them out. He was walking with them. He was friendly to them. He walked with them the whole way. The only thing they needed to do was to feed him. So when you have to feed him, the bottom end of the yeish, they just say this is a food for the animal. If he doesn't eat food, then they're going to take it back. So it's a different type of yeush over here. It's a yeush where you say you give up hope because the type of grabbing or type of lion that's coming and grabbing it away from you makes you say, I'm never going to get this back. So if you saved an animal there, then you can belong to its hefker. Over here, there's no real yeush, as we just discussed with Shaul. It's not really a hefker over here. He's giving his animal his feed to the lion. That's not a really sensitive hefker. He just says, okay, now you can have my chamor. And then if the lion doesn't take the chamor, he says, I'll take my chamor back. It's not a real yeush or a hefker of sorts, because it's food. It's not that they're trying to placate this lion in a way that he's coming and attacking them, which would be different. There he would be, yeish from it. Alright, now, the Gemara continues. Amalei Rav Tava, Bayi Minei Rav Mirabi. So Rav has another question from Rav Kana asked Rav in the case where his animal came back. Now when Rav asked the question, Rabbi, I'd rather seal with those seals. What happens if he makes the deal and he doesn't say this? Make a deal, give up my chamor, you pay for my chamor and I'll save your chamor. What happens if he doesn't succeed? Mo, he says, what's the dinner or low? Vizu Sheila. What type of question is this? In Lelos Charil. So it sounds like this from Rabbi's answer that he thinks that he gets a scar as a poel. You know, he gets compensated as a poel. And now for the chamor that he lost. Eight of the, is that the Jew? A socher ta poel. Someone who hires a worker, la di crew, to bring cabbage or dormant kinin. Dormant kinin, I saw in the Ron says that these are, he calls them prunes. Right? I saw others that translate as plums. Right? The plums and prunes, but he says the cholet to bring it to a sick person. Rashi brings the second interpretation that some sort of asif that they used to boil. Maybe some herbs or spices, something that was had medicinal qualities. I don't know. They bring it to the cholet. Balak, he brings them there with matzo shemet. The cholet is already dead. Oshay Ebrir, he's already healthy. Notein lo tzcharo mishalim. He has to pay him the full amount over here. He has to pay him the entire amount. Now it's clear that he didn't compensate him. He didn't say he's going to pay him the regular tzchar. Otherwise, what's tzcharo mishalim? So he says that here, Tosu says. It has to be that he said to him, I'm going to pay you more than the normal tzchar of a poel. So he goes and he does it, and he has to compensate him for it over here. He has to pay him in its entirety. And it has to be in a case where he can't say, Mishatani, b'chad, and I was joking with you. Right? Because, or in a case where he would have done something else and lost money. So he pays them more than a regular poel, and we say if he goes there and he finds out that the chole is healthy or dead, he gets paid anyway. So why don't you stay over here in our case?
What does he get paid?
What? He gets paid the full amount. I mean, charol plus whatever additional amount he said he was going to pay.
Whatever
they agreed to, he pays. So why not over here? Why in our case can we not get paid on the agreement, and he gets paid like a sky poel? That's what Gemara says. Well, that's different. What are you talking about? Leit, midomi. Altamavich, luchish, luchutei. Over here, the shliach did his shlichut. He was obligated to go to the chuleh and bring the stuff to chuleh. That's what he did. The chuleh, the object of who he's bringing the stuff to, was in a different condition. That's not his fault. He did his shlichut. The failure over here is that the shliach didn't do what he was supposed to do, which was save the chamor. I mean that here he failed in his shlichut, and in failing in his shlichut, he only gets skar kipolel. The other hand, when you complete your shlichut, then you get all the tnaim, you get all the conditions or all the agreements that we laid out together.
It's a more memorable case than would be if you made some deals to save the chamor.
Whether I save it or not.
And he goes into the water to save it. And just like the other case where his chamor goes up mainland,
yeah,
so the other guy's chamor goes up mainland.
Correct.
So according to that, he should be entitled to his
compensation.
Yeah, if he pulls out the chamor, then it's dead. I mean, he did his job, but still the chamor
was dead. That it wasn't. I don't know. Here it says that he failed at the condition of the shlichus is to save the chamor, right?
It wasn't to
bring back his carcass.
To drag it down.
By the way, I'm not sure in your case also. It might not be the case. Over there, he has to bring it to the cholet, and he did bring it to the cholet. Over here, he has to save it. If it walked out by itself, he did not save it. He did not actively do anything. So I'm not sure. I think that case also he may not
if
be.
He was,
it's not,
if
not
he was
out
of it, there would be a mess. What was the business about? Why does he care how it was saved? It was saved.
But the question is that he has to. The shlichus that he sent on is to Latilo told me to actually do something active to save it. Davening might be enough, but I'm saying he has to do something. All right. Taravanan Shayera Shaitam Alecha Bimidbar. They have a caravan that was in the midbar, but Madalea Gaius the Torfa. They get attacked by a bunch of pirates. Marauders come and they're attacking it. Machshavin lifnei. Now they agree. This is missing from the case here, but they agree to compensate them. They can pay them off. They agree that they'll pay them a certain amount of money and they'll leave them alone. Machshavin lifnei v'fi mamon. They machshavin lifnei nefashot. Over here, when there's an agreement to pay them off, then we divide up the obligation to pay these marauders between each of us, but each of us based on our wealth. Based on how much money we're carrying here, based on how much produce, stuff we're carrying in the Shayirah, based on how rich we are in other places. Why? So because the underlying assumption here, it seems from the Bishonim, that these marauders were not going to kill them. These marauders were simply after extortion. They're going to get the money from them. And so since they knew they had risk with money, then everybody compensates based on the amount of money they could have lost in this problem over here, right? So then, that's how we share in it. If I'm carrying 50% of the Shayirah is mine, in terms of produce or stuff that we're taking, and these are coming and demanding money, then I should pay 50% of the obligation because that's how much I saved over here. But we don't count based on the number of heads that are in the caravan. If they hire a guide, then I will actually say him, because we'll go in front of them, why do they hire the guide? Because it's a dangerous place and he's going to guide them. So there is sakanas in fashot, because if they go the wrong way, they're going to end up in a bad place. Over there, then you do it evenly fi, or also lefi nefashot, because there is a sakanas in fashot as well. So it's not just a monetary loss, there's also a possibility of sakanas in fashot. Sakanas in fashot is equal to everybody. That's a per head cost. So you have to include that, or that has to be considered. And they should not switch from the minaga chamarim, whatever the minaga chamarim is, that if they pay him with name Amon or the fina pashot, we do it. Meaning that there's a standard. And whatever that standard is, we follow it. Rishain chamarim latnot. A chamar can make a condition. Sounds like here that there are multiple chamarim here, or there are multiple people going along here. Shukomi shiyavidlo chamaro yamidlo chamar acher. That anybody in this caravan, or anybody who's part of this crew, if he has a chamor with him and he loses his chamor, dies, then we replace it. The whole caravan, everybody will replace it, or this guy will get his replaced for free if he's the guide. So Mar says, Bekusya ain mamidim. Right? If it was done, Bekusya, meaning that he did it with Pshia, then we don't replace it. Shalo Bekusya, if it dies, if there's a problem without Pshia, mamidim. Vima Mar truly, if he says to them, listen, yeah, you guys owe me a chamor now, to replace my chamor, v'ani yishmor, right, and I will watch, so what does he say to them? Don't give me a chamor, give me money. Give me the money to repay it, right, and I think the gear should go, and I'll buy a chamor later. Give me the money right now to replace, and I'll buy a chamor later, and show me money. We don't listen to him. Why? Pshita, right, lo tricha, right, what's the question over here? What's the question over here? The reason, what is the condition, or why are they making such a condition that he has to have a chamor with him here? He wants everybody to have the same risk over here. Everybody to be in a position where they could lose a chamor, everybody can lose some balkai over here. Since everybody can lose a balkai over here, then everybody at night will watch better. When they do, they'll take turns watching. It means that they have what they call in the English expressive skin in the game. That they want someone, everybody to have a chamor here so that everybody's equally, right, afraid of certain things, equally obligated in certain things. So this guy says, when he loses the chamor, just give me money. That's not the situation you want. You want this guy to have a real chamor, so that he has skin in the game. So Mar says, so what's that cheetah, that he has to buy a chamor? Otherwise, the whole reason that they built this, you know, condition doesn't make any sense. So Mar says, no, the case is easily chamor akrina, that he has another donkey already. That he already has to watch that chamor. So why? Mably achad, mably shtayim. Kamash lunch. I need to do it to the kadmi, do it to beitrei. The more you have in the game, the more you're going to be right. You're going to take care about what's going on in the situation. So it says two is better than one if you want a guy to be involved in the situation over here. So Tana Rabbanan. Spina shaytam olechet bayam. Amar le nachshol le tova. So Spina is Yonah. There's a big storm in the sea, and the boat's about to sink. Veikilu matad. It's a dump overboard. Based on the condition is weight. When we dump things out, we dump on a weight basis. If I dump 100 kilo, you got to dump 100 kilo. If you dump 10, I got to dump 10. We don't look lefi amamon. I don't look at it that mine is 100 pounds. Mine is 10 kilo of gold, and yours is 10 kilo of silver. We don't take that into consideration. Why? Because the only issue here is weight. Weight is the problem, and we need to lighten the weight. So weight will be the issue. Your weight, doesn't matter how much it's worth, your weight's going to cause us to sink. So when we dump everybody's weight equally. Right? Again, we don't change the normal way that the sailors divide us up. And again, if that's nefashot, if that's mamon, if that is masoi, then if that's already a given protocol that is done, or people have already the laws of the land are that way, then we don't mention them in Aminak. Rishayim Asvanim, let's note, Shukom Mi She Abdalo Svina Yamid Lo Svina Acheret. If they're going in a convoy of boats, right, and then if somebody loses a boat, you know, along the way, that everybody will replace that boat, or they'll replace his boat. Ablo Bekusi, if the boat went down because of Pshia Yamidim. Shlo Bekusi, if it wasn't Pshia Yamidim, no. Be perished to Makom Shina Yosofim. If he went to a place where Svino shouldn't go, Yamidim. Then we don't put him in another one. What do you mean? Pshita. What do you mean? That's like a pshia. He went to a place that he shouldn't have been. in Nisan, where the water is moving fast from the melt-off, from the harim and from the snow. Then they distance themselves from the bank, one ashka, one rope's worth from the bank. Over Tishrei, when there's less water, then they have to move to more to the middle of the river, to have two ropes worth away from there to get into a deep enough area. This guy in Nisan went out to the middle of the river. Right, so he went out two ropes worth in Nisan when the water's fast. The mother same meaning that he's going the normal way. Yeah, this is the normal way to go. This is considered to be a normal course. Meaning just that he took a little more distance from the bank. Kamashalan, no. That if everybody else in Nisan goes one rope's worth, when he went two ropes worth, he put himself into a rift. The water runs faster in the middle. It's deeper and faster in the middle. And that means that he put himself into a position of Shia. Right, Tana Rabbanan. Shayor Shaitam Alekha Bimidbar, but Madgayas Bitarfa. Again, the case where there's a Shayor going, a marauder's come, and they're going to cause the main command of it. Right, one guy saves some of the stuff from them. I mean, he goes in, he saves some of the property, he's able to get back some of the property, whatever it is, he's still the emsa. He has to divide it amongst all the people in the Shayara. Because whatever he saves, he's saving on behalf of everybody else. B'yamar, I need to steal that from me. If he says, I'm saving on my own behalf, he steals that small, then it goes to him. Hey, dummy, what's the case over here? Easy, I call that steal a filo, save my nami lamsa. Say, if it's a case where everybody can save their stuff over here, then I feel the seifa, even in the seifa case, it should be the emsa. Because what right does he have over here to say that it's mine and that's yours? Right? Because everybody could have saved it. When he went in, he's going basically as a shliach, he's going on behalf of everybody else over here. Right. I mean, there's no yeush, and there's assumption that he's going on behalf of everybody. Either way, if it's a case where they can't save their stuff, there's no way they can save their stuff, I feel the ratio now that smoke. That even the first case, we make no condition, it should be his, because they have no way to get to their stuff. They've given it up on his stuff, so whatever he saves is for himself. We're dealing with partners over here. A person, a shutaf, in this instance, can make a unilateral decision to split their property. He can dissolve the partnership on a unilateral basis. Amar, if he says explicitly, I'm saving it on my own behalf. I'm saying my half of the partnership, police, then they've divided, meaning that he's dissolved the partnership. Lo Amar, if he doesn't say it, then lo Palik, then we assume he's working on behalf of the partnership. So unless he explicitly states that he's dissolving the partnership, then all assumption is that he works on behalf of the partnership. He has a fiduciary duty to the partnership, and when he does that, he brings back partnership property. Partnership property is split between us. If he dissolves the partnership before he goes out to save it, then he has no longer has a fiduciary duty to the partnership. Whatever he saves is his own property. Rabba Amar Achab Bipoali Maskina. No, here we're dealing with workers. Ukharab, and like the position. Rab Damar Rab Poel Yacholak Zorba Afilub Chatiyom. Poel can go back or can reverse his position, right, in the middle of a day. But Kama Dolo Hader Bay. As long as he hasn't been Mahader, Kibishute the Balabait. Then he's working for the Balabait or on behalf of the Balabait. And once he is mahader, then there's another reason why. Right, so when he goes back on it, the reason that he's allowed to reverse his position is because of a pasuk. What's the pasuk? That is that Bnei Yisrael are my avadim, but they are not avadim to avadim. That you cannot obligate somebody. You cannot obligate somebody to do something on your behalf. You can't be a machriach him to work for you. So because of that, he has a right to pull out of the engagement. Right? He has a right to disengage from you at any time. So now, what do you have here? You have a case where you have kohanim that are going on this shayara, and they go ahead and they say stuff. So if they say stuff, you assume that they're doing it on behalf of the balabais. Unless they disengage. Unless they disengage. What do you mean they disengage? They stop their field, they stop doing their work for him midday. Why are they entitled? Why do they have the right to stop midday? Because they have a pasuk that supports them that there is a din, that a poel can reverse his position midday because he cannot be an eved le'eved, meaning that he can't be subjugated to another Jew. Another Jew can't force him to stay in his position. He can stop working whenever he wants. So that's what he did over here. But he says, I'm saving it for myself. That means I'm stopping to work for you. it's not going to work for you, that means whatever I save is on my own behalf. Ravashi Amar, Kishiyachol Atzil Adia Techak. That they can save it, I say Techak. Meaning that the other parties, could have, everybody here could have saved it, I say Techak. So therefore, if he goes and saves it, Tam, we assume he does it on behalf of everybody. Whereas, Galidate, when he makes it clear that I'm only saving on his own half, Batmo, Lo Galidate Etza, that it's clear that the Balim who heard this and didn't object, that means that they agree. Since it's only Ayyadeh Techak that could save it, they basically are Miyayish, whatever he does. But that's not case, not true in the Stam case. In the Stam case, we don't. When they can explain, clearly save it. Even if they hear him saying, I'm saving it for my own behalf, and they're silent, lokani. Then they're not calling them Istamalo Miyayish. Because why should they be Miyayish? If they could save it, they're not Miyayish. They're not Miyayish, then your statement has no bearing over here. In other cases where it's a likelihood that they are Miyayish, and you make a statement, they stand by silently, that readily is almost an indication of their Yeyush, and therefore you can keep it for yourself. Alright, new Mishnah. Gozel Misadeh Mechavero, Benanua Misikim. Right, if a person steals a field from his friend, then the thief, the robber, has the sikim, has these people that are amasim, that come along and take the property away from him. In makat mizinahi, if it's something that they're doing to everybody around the area, it's not particular to this field, you say, this is your field, I gave you your field back, go get it from the mesik, it's in the hands of the mesik now, I don't have it anymore. Why? Because Mali, if it's in my hands, Mali, if it's in the hands of the Bali, the Mesikim would have come and taken it. In Machmata Gazlan, if the field's taken because of the Gazlan, then Chayav Lamizo Se'acher, then obviously he has to replace the field. Because of the Gazlan, there was a loss here, so of course he has to replace the field. So now, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Vayitzak Mandatani Mesikim Lo Mishtabesh, Mandatani Mesikim Lo Mishtabesh. So the term here of who comes, the secondary party that comes and steals it, are they called Mesikim or Mesikim? Mazadani Mesikim, Lon Mishtabesh, Tiktebe Matsor, Umatok. Right? Because Mesikim are people, Matsok, means from the depth of distress. Right? So over here, Mesikim are people who cause others distress, right? Or cause other people problems. So Mesikim is a good term for them. Umatatani Mesikim, Lon Mishtabesh, why? Tiktebe Yaresh Hatzlatzau. Right, that is in the Tochucha, that the Tzaltzal will take over. Right? That the Sakana will inherit it. What is the Sakana? So Rashi over here says, Arbet. Tzaltzal is locust. Right? That the locusts come over the land and they eat everything in sight. They take everything that doesn't belong to them and eat everything in sight. So too, these are the Mesikim. Mesikim come and grab everything around them and they take whatever is in sight. That's Rashi's interpretation. Tosfos says not. He says that the Rabbeinu Tam does not think so. He says that he thinks that it's a Lashon Yerusha. Yachsinineh, that we're mentioning over here, is a Yerusha. So what does that mean? That the Oyeh, the enemy, is called the Saka'ah. And therefore, Yerusha Tzlatah means Yachsinineh Saka'ah. The enemy will inherit it. So it's over here, the Mesikim are the enemy, or the other people will come along and take away your property. Alright, so now, why are they called? Now, why is the enemy called a Tzlatah, which is a locust? Is because the locusts come and they're like in abundance over the land. They block the sun, they come flying and they cause lots of cell. So do the Oyev. What's the Oyev? The Oyev is it comes and they come in legions of armies and they come and they cause shade all over the ground, and that's why they're also called the sun. So, alright. Now, the Gemara continues. What does it mean, Machmata Gazlan? If they took his land and nobody else's land, Hamereshish might mean we could have gotten that idea from the Resha. If it's a Makat Medina, then he doesn't have to pay his Resha. What's implicit from that? That it wasn't a Makat Medina, he would have to pay. He pointed to it. He showed the Anasim this land. What do you mean? So he showed them this land. Rashi says what? Shlo gazla hu be'atmo. He didn't steal it. Actually, there's no theft over here. But rather, elashamad beit hamelech shemakshing lezol. Here's a rumor that they want to steal people's property. Ve'erolehem bukakazu shoploni. He says, you know what? I have a nice piece for you. Shows him his friend's piece and says, take this. That's what Rashi says. This is now. So we know another lashon over here. And Tosfos had an alternative piece of gifts as well. Akumayaskina. Konchan suakum. Case where a non-Jew came and took it away, grabbed it away. They're coming to take it, and he says, show us your land. And he showed them his land along with their land. Right? So he showed them, not only did he show them his land, he showed them their land, this guy's land also, the other guy's land along with it. So now, Ahu Gavra, the Akve Akrayo, the Chite, the Bei Reish Kaluta, some guy came and showed the seed, a pile of wheat that belonged to Reish Kaluta. The Kaat said, come to Rabbi Nachman, they came before Rabbi Nachman, Chayive, Rabbi Nachman, the Shlume, Rabbi Nachman said, you gotta pay. Yati, Rabbi Yosef, Akrayo, the Rabbuna Barchia, Yati, Rabbuna Barchia, come to Rabbi Nachman, Amalei, Rabbuna Barchia, the Rabbi Nachman, Dina, Ukansa. Is this the din or is this a knas? Samalei, Masnisani, it's our Mishnah. Then if it comes, if it's his fault, he's got to replace the sadeh. So too, this guy pointed to the wheat of Reish Kaluta. It's his fault. He's got to compensate it. And we set up the case. And he pointed it. It's also over here. This is the case of Achuye. But our dinafa, kamalei Rav Yosef, the Ravuna, Bachia, my nafkul chamina. What did you care? Whether it's a knas or it's mamon? So he says, e dina o kansa. If you let it, it's a dinra knas. If it's a din, meaning that if this is Maisa the Rav Nachman, if that's Mi'ikra din, then we can learn, we can apply it to other cases of Garmi. Rashi says, the Garmi bin Izakin, this will be a principle in Garmi bin Izakin that you have to pay. If you say that it's a kanto, meaning that Rav Nachman was mekanes this guy because he did it on a frequent basis, and he was konesh him to stop him from doing that, then no Garmi in it, then has no implication for Garmi in general. So that's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying this is a case, or a case in our Mishnah, the case of Garmi. If Rav Nachman is going to pass him a look, I'll be on Mishnah like this, that when he's Akvile, that's the case of Garmi, and because of that, he's obligated to pay. He's obligated to pay, then in general, in the case of Garmi, you're going to have to pay. If you say simply, in this case, is a knas to dissuade him or give him a disincentive for doing it, then you can't learn from this about the din of Garmi in general, because it was unique to the case of Rav Nachman. Alright, so we'll stop over here.